There are a lot of people who watch Glenn Beck, and I watch him quite often. It comes in the time of day that's hard for me to watch, but Dolores will record something that's important. So this morning we watched some of his latest programs leading up to his 828 event there in Washington, D.C. And it was very interesting that 828 was a Sabbath. Okay. Not that it was a Sabbath event for them. And I thought that it was quite outstanding from many points of view, especially the opening part of it. Just before they opened, there was a whole V squad of geese that flew right down the middle, over the pond, over the Washington Monument, and on out. And Glenn Beck said, well, we couldn't get any of the military to do an overfly for us. They thought that he's, you know, he credited it to God. Well, the question is someone like Glenn Beck doing something for God? Well, he's certainly warning about the destruction of the nation, and there are many watchmen on the wall. And so we can count all of those like that as someone who's a watchman on the wall warning Israel. But you see, don't confuse that necessarily with salvation, okay? Because God is dealing with the nation in a different standard than what he's dealing with us, because we've been called to salvation. But let's come to Ezekiel 33 and let's see the work of a watchman. And he's doing that. And he's not claiming that he is Ezekiel's watchman on the wall. Okay? Ezekiel 33. Let's begin right here in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, When I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and set him up for their watchman. Okay? This is not a minister. This is not for salvation. This is just a man who's a watchman. If when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the ram's horn and warns the people. That's what happened, is happening. He's warning the people. And he brings out very good things concerning what's going to happen economically. And the things that we bring out then go quite a bit beyond what he is able to understand at the present time. But nevertheless, he's doing a good job at warning the people and also telling them, very interesting, which is this. He says, you should pray every day on your knees for this country. Okay? Now, he's not endorsing any denomination. As a matter of fact, he had a whole thing with 1,500 different religious leaders in the Kennedy Hall there on Friday night before they had their 828 out in the open on the at the Capitol there. And God will respect anyone who says to the people, stop being evil. Be your better self. Now, God is looking at the nations as we have seen, and he judges according to the degree of evil or righteousness that's in the land. So if he can tell people that the sword is coming, the financial situation is going to collapse, and the only way you're going to be strengthened is that you better get yourself right with God. And he also said, which I think is true, and it's going to be something to see how he handles it, because he does read the Bible, though he is a Mormon. And I thought it was very interesting. He said, you go to church? He said, if you don't tithe, why do you go to church? And he said that when he came out of his low life, that he started to tithe when he was in poverty. And so that's just a message to everyone out there who, when I bring a message And I talk about Malachi 3, and I talk about that it's the whole nation of Israel that's robbing God. And some people say to me, well, that's only for the ministers. They're robbing God. Well, whoever doesn't tithe is robbing God. So I thought that was interesting that he said that. And he said that you'll be blessed for doing so. Okay? All of those are part of things which then will help if it goes out to all the people who listen. He has an audience of 15 million, the largest audience, television audience that they have. Highest rated, knocks Oprah and all of the rest of them clear out of the roof. So he is going to have an effect. And with his 828 meeting, he had 650,000 people. They're the largest of any single meeting that any movement has had. And when they were all done, there was no cleanup necessary. And his message was faith, hope, and charity. Return to God. Well, people have to return to God with what they know. So that may have an effect on God, plus all of the other watchmen that you might have out there telling what's going on in a country, that God will hold back his hand of correction for a while. But all of those who go along with that are going to have their moment of truth yet, which is this, that Glenn Beck calls it this way, the burning truth. The truth will burn all the chaff away. True statement. So the question will be for Glenn personally, what are you going to do when you accept the whole Word of God as truth? And what are you going to do with the Book of Mormon? And if we're going to revise our lives and get back with God, and we need the truth, do we not have to keep the truth? Yes, we do. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. He said, you're sanctified by the Word, which is the truth. And here he's got the whole thing. Now, we'll look at what happens when people come part way. Use the name of God, use the name of Jesus. Will God honor that? So let's continue on here, Ezekiel 33. Verse 4. Then whoever hears the sound of the ram's horn and does not take warning, if the sword does come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his head. And that's another thing that Glenn Beck has right. It's each one individual. He heard the sound of the ram's horn and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the ram's horn and the people are not warned, if the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at the watchman's hand. So the people set up a watchman, and there are many that people set up. They listen to Rush, they listen to Sean Hannity, they listen to Al Levine, they listen to a host of others that are saying many of the same things. There's trouble coming. The dollar's going to collapse. Our enemies are against us. And yet there are certain things that they don't see, which I'll talk about in a sermon after the feast. I want to save all of the good for the feast. The bad and the ugly I will save for after the feast. Okay? But it's coming. Now, verse 7, and you, son of man, I have set you as a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. Now, he doesn't quite come to this point, but he says, be your better self. And then we'll answer the question a little later. Why is there some success and a good degree of success among many of these ministers who are also with Glenn Beck? And there is. Showed this one man who had his face burned by white phosphorus when he was in the army. He was going to throw a white phosphorus grenade, and it went off ahead of time and burned his whole face. and how that he was in pain and agony and wretchedness, and he to keep from screaming out loud, he put his head in the pillow and was screaming in the pillow, and when he lifted up his head, his face was stuck on the pillow. So a man like that, in turning to God, God blessed him, and his wife reassured him, kissed him on the forehead, the only part that wasn't burned, and said, I'm with you. And so those kinds of things God will honor. See? There's more to God than just the church. The church is for salvation for those that God calls. Is God still interested in the rest of the world? Yes. Because he said, if a nation, then I pronounce evil against, turn and repent from their evil, then I will not bring the evil, bring my correction upon them and the evil that I've determined to do to them because of their iniquity. So yes, God is interested in his whole creation, is he not? Does he not know when a sparrow falls? Yes. So we can look at that in the same way. So if they turn, and we saw, when you see it, you see that a lot of lives were moved from going in the direction that they have been in a society to going to a better direction. Well, how much that will have in the future, we don't know. We don't know how it's going to go. But you can't take someone like that and say, you know, God can't use a man like that because he's not in a church. Well, God's going to use whoever he wants to use. And remember the judges in the Old Testament. Were they in a church? Maybe some of them will be in their first resurrection. Now, let's look at another principle here. Let's come to Jeremiah, the 5th chapter. When things get really, really bad, and down to very few who are seeking and doing the truth, God will still honor people who will not go out and actively sin. So we need to understand that, get all of this in the proper framework. And, hey, I'm all for Glenn Beck doing what he's going to do if he's going to hold back some of his correction for a time, Jeremiah 5. Okay? Jeremiah 5. Now, here's what God told. Let's pick it up here in... Let's go back to chapter 4, verse 17. Like watchmen of a field, they are against her all around because she rebelled against me, says the Lord. Your way and your doings have brought these things upon you. This is your evil, how bitter it is, how it pierces into your heart. My bowels, I writhe in pain. The walls of my heart is beating wildly within me. I cannot be silent because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the ram's horn, the alarm of war. And that's happening right now. Most people don't realize it, but right now, today, in Arizona, north of the border, the drug lords have their guerrilla forces who claim territory in the state of Arizona. And they are armed. They are dedicated to taking that over. There are people who are preaching that California, Arizona, and New Mexico, I don't think they'll get away with it in Texas, but they will try. They want to create such a furor that when the United States collapses, that will become part of Mexico. And they're active, and they're doing it on taxpayer money. And the colleges, which are indoctrinating those who go in Marxist doctrine. Quite a thing. So it's going to happen. But can the hand be turned back for a while? We'll have to wait and see. Because, see, when evil gets in power, It never lets go. And the only one who can change that is God. So if what Glenn Beck is doing is going to help, along with the others, turn back to God, that's fine. But likewise with the church. The church itself is in trouble. The church itself is still fighting among itself. And so God's hand of judgment is also on the church. And so they need to hear, ministers and members in the various churches of God, unless you get right with God, unless you really love him and keep his commandments and stop all of your silly socializing and get serious with God and understand what's going on and quit playing church, because this country and the churches are on the line. That needs to happen. How many times have we seen, as the church goes, so goes the nation? A lot of people took comfort when we had the three colleges and everything was nice and wonderful and beautiful. And what did we say? Oh, it's just like a little piece of the kingdom of God on earth, right? Yes, when sin entered in, did they listen? Did they repent? No. What happened to it? It's all gone. What do you suppose is going to happen to the nation? We can be thankful that there are people out there like Glenn Beck doing it. The church needs to do a better job in doing it, that's for sure. But the people in the world won't listen to those who are in the church of God. So we need to understand that as well. Okay? Verse 20, destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is laid waste suddenly. My tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment. How could that happen? How could that start? Total collapse of the dollar. How close are we to that? Very close. Verse 21. How long shall I see the banner of war and hear the sound of the ram's horn? For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. And why? Because the ministers and pastors and teachers and rabbis and imams have not been teaching them the true word of God. Now, it's good to see that there are some who are seeking truth, but the ultimate thing will come down to this. What will they do when they really understand the truth of the Sabbath and holy days? What will they do? And Glenn Beck is going to have to cross that path, because he's got a book out on the wonderful things of Christmas. Yet he says he's seeking truth. God is going to take him up on it. Let's see what happens. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens they had no light. That's what's going to happen when there's war. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they quaked, and all the hills were shaken. I looked, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. Remember, watch out when all the birds are gone. You know, it's just like that they learned when they, before the earthquake and the tsunami in Indonesia, the elephants, the birds, and even the snakes were heading for the hills. They were. And there was one man that they couldn't get a hold of. The family fled up into the hills, and his elephant carried him up to another hill. And when the earthquake hit and the tsunami came in, they figured that he was gone. But his elephant took him up there. It wouldn't go the other way. So even the animals know better when trouble's at hand, you see. And I looked, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down before the face of the Lord by his fierce anger. For thus has the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. Now that's why we find in Revelation 7 that there will be 144,000 of the children of Israel who will escape the worst part of the tribulation. See? Because God is love, God is mercy, and God will not come upon the people, even if they are not called to salvation, but that they do the things that are right and seek the good. We'll see it here in just a minute. The earth shall mourn for this. The heavens above shall be black because I have spoken. I purposed it. I will not repent, nor will I turn back from it. Every city shall flee from the sound of the horsemen and the bow. They shall go into the thickets, climb up among the rocks. Every city is abandoned. A man shall not dwell in them. Sound like some of the wars we've seen in Iraq, Afghanistan, Darfur, Somalia, all of them, yes, sure does. And you, O desolate one, what will you do? Though you dress in crimson, though you put on ornaments of gold, though you make your eyes large with paint, you shall make yourself beautiful in vain. Your lovers will despise you, and they will seek your life. Ever wonder why everyone hates America? They want everything we have, but who turned them to hatred toward us? Because we didn't carry out our mission as a nation to be a blessing to the world by bringing them the Word of God the way God wanted it brought. Let's read on. For I have heard a voice as the voice of a woman in labor, the anguish is one bearing her first child, the voice of Zion's daughter gasping and spreading her hands, saying, woe to me now, for my life is given to the murderers. Now that sets the stage for Jeremiah 5. Now notice how merciful God is. And all of those of you who believe that the God of the Old Testament is a God of hatred and murder and devastation and war, you better read it all the way through. And you better listen to the sermons that I've been giving on the if clauses, and we'll cover some of those a little later, that you find in the Old Testament. Lo and behold, there are more if clauses in the New Testament than the Old Testament. So if you think that you're safe because you have a nice little Christian setup that you accept, you better ask the question, is it the truth of God, all the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Don't we require that in court? Why not in church? Notice what God says, because he's merciful. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man. And Glenn Beck talked about what can one man do, not referring to himself, but what each individual one can do. Okay? If there is one who does justice, who seeks the truth, doesn't know it, but is seeking it, you see, I will pardon her, which means I will pardon the sins of Jerusalem and Judah. So how much of this is going to take effect? I don't know. Let's come here to Psalm 78. Let's see how Israel does, because you look out there and see the crowd that was there, and it was very evident that they are all Israelites. And a lot of blacks who believe the Bible in the way that they understand it were there. A lot of people know things are wrong. A lot of people want to have something to hang on to. A lot of people want to avoid what's going to happen. They can see what's going to happen. Now here it's interesting. Here it's interesting. The problem with the children of Israel was that they didn't believe God. Let's come over here. Let's come over here to verse 35. Here's why we have crises. Here's why we have difficulties, and that they come upon not only the church, but on the descendants of Israel as well. Okay? Go back here to verse 24. When he slew them, then they sought him. Isn't that true? Every crisis, everyone runs back to God. Oh, let's go to church. And they turned back and sought after God earnestly, and they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High was their Redeemer. But notice verse 36. This is going to be the key. Psalm 78, verse 36. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouths, and they lied to him with their tongues. Will they honestly come back to God? Well, God will still be compassionate to them if they come a good deal of the way. Verse 37, for their heart was not steadfast with him, neither were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yea, many times he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and does not come again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? That's why it's good to read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that's why it's good to see the unity of Scripture of the Old Testament and New Testament, that we can learn. And these things are examples for us, as Paul wrote, that we don't do the same thing. And as we saw last time, how it was a pattern with the kings. And I thought about it. Saul started out good when he was small in his own eyes. He was doing well. But what happened? He got lifted up in heart. David was doing great until God promised him, because he was doing fine and living properly and so forth, that he would set him up a dynasty forever. Now, God never went back on his word, even though he got lifted up in pride and vanity and lust with Bathsheba, right? Then look at Solomon. Look at how Solomon started out. God spoke to him twice. And he was young and his heart was tender. And he said, oh, give me wisdom so that I can rule your people Israel. And he said, because you haven't asked for riches or asked for anything for yourself but wisdom to judge my people, I'm going to give you all of that plus wisdom. What happened to him? He got lifted up and carried away in vanity, worse than the only one who was worse was Manasseh, but Manasseh repented. But there's no account that Solomon repented. He ended up with 300 wives, 700 concubines. He ended up making temples and altars of incense and burning for all of his wives. Here's the way it was geographically. Here is where the temple was, on this mountain ridge here. The city of David, where the king lived, was right here. The temple was just north of it. On this side is the Kidron Valley. On this side is another valley, and there's another hill. On this hill over here, Solomon made so many false temples and churches and altars for incense for his wives. After all, why not continue the employment of the workmen who built the temple? After all, the one who built the temple of God, couldn't he do a good job building temples for these other gods? And then you look at Jeroboam, you look at Rehoboam, you go down through the whole thing. Every one of them, and I've been studying that as something that is important for me personally. And as a warning to me, don't do as they did. Okay, hold your place right here and come to 2 Chronicles. I want to show you something. We covered Hezekiah, okay? But I want to show you something here that's important for us to understand. What happened to Hezekiah, okay? Yep, Hezekiah. All right, we have Jehoshaphat. I'll get the chapter. I'll know where it is here. Jehoiada, Amaziah, Jethron, Uzziah, Hezekiah. Okay, chapter 29. Okay, chapter 30, 31. Okay, let's see what happened. Have you ever heard of the thing that, you know, there are times I feel close to God, closer to God than other times? Why is that? Have you ever asked that question? Remember what Hezekiah did when Isaiah came in and said, you're going to die. He turned to the wall and wept sore, and God, before even Isaiah could get out of the courtyard, he says, go back and you tell Hezekiah I'm going to give him 15 years. I see in his tears. So he gave him 15 years. And then the ambassadors from Babylon came and he showed them all the wealth, everything, because he had a storehouse for gold, storehouse for silver, storehouse for precious stones, storehouse for spices. And he went through and said, oh, look at all of this that we have. And he didn't remember that God gave it to him. He shouldn't have shown them God's wealth. And remember what happened. He said, because you have done this, it's all going in captivity to Babylon. But in your day, it won't happen. And he said, what? Oh, well, that's nice. I'll have peace in my day. When he started out seeking God with all of his heart. All right. 2 Chronicles 32. And let's pick it up here in verse 31. I thought this was real interesting, see, because last time we read it in 2 Kings. Nevertheless, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent to him to ask what the wonder was done in the land, God left him in order to try him to know all that was in his heart. And boy, that struck me like a bolt of lightning when I read that. Thinking about how many times people, you know, get complacent with God, you know. And if you go to your church, because there are a lot of people on our mailing list that go to another church because they want the fellowship. Well, one of these days you're going to have to balance the fellowship with your relationship with God. But if you're in a church where God is leaving it, and did it try the whole church when that happened? Yes, it did. Didn't everyone say, wonder what's happened in Pasadena and in Big Sandy and in Bricketwood? God left. And God turned it over to those who would take it right back into the world. Because if you don't love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, where are you? What are you doing? Where are you going? See? That's what we'd need to ask ourselves. Look at that, really struck me. God left him in order to try him to know all that was in his heart. That's why we need to pray every day for the washing of the water of the word with the Spirit of God and forgiveness and mercy. And always remember, we have nothing we didn't receive. And remember, you are only one breath from death. Does that rhyme? Breath and death? Okay. Does God want to know what is in our hearts? Yes, he does. All right, now come back here to Psalm 78. Had compassion on them. Verse 36, let's just repeat this. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouths, yet they lied to him. So had mercy upon him and remembered that they were but flesh. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? And still again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. So that's quite something, isn't it? Well, that's pretty much what is happening in America today, isn't it? So I am happy to see there are different ones like Glenn Beck trying to do something, at least to turn it around politically. Now let's come to Mark the 9th chapter, and let's see something that is interesting here that we also need to know. Mark the 9th chapter. Mark 9. Not going to find it in Mark 10. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 38. Now this was after Jesus cast the demon out of the little boy that the father brought to the disciples to cast out the demon, and they couldn't do it. So he cast it out, and he said that this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. Now, verse 38. Then John answered him, saying, Master, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. Now notice Jesus' answer. Do not forbid him, for no one who does a work of power in my name can easily speak evil of me. The one who is not against you is for you. So that's how we need to view the religionists who are trying to bring the people some sense of understanding and try and bring them back to God in the way that they know. But yet each one individually is going to have to go over the threshold of truth. And they're going to have to quit themselves from flattering God and quit using just principles of truth. But they're going to have to come to understand that they see all of these problems around and all the difficulties that are happening. They're not against Christ, but yet, because they don't preach the truth, they are also a cause of the problems. Okay? But nevertheless, God is merciful, like we saw back there in Psalm 78. For whoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you are Christ, truly I say to you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. All right, that sounds more like a second resurrection statement, doesn't it, when you understand it? But whosoever shall cause one of the little ones who believe in me to offend, it would be better for him that a millstone be put around his neck and he be cast into the sea. And then he explains all the rest there, okay? Now, let's come to Philippians, the first chapter. And let's see that the Apostle Paul was confronted with some things very similar to it. And we know that different ones tried to come in, preach the name of Jesus Christ. We know about Simon Magus. We know about the different ones who set up their own offsprings, their own offshoots, rather, or knockoffs, as we talked about earlier, leaving the true church of God. So here in Philippians, the first chapter, this is quite interesting here. Philippians, the first chapter, and let's pick it up here in verse 12. Brethren, I want you to know that the things befalling me have turned out rather unto the advancement of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ have become manifest in the whole palace and to all others. And most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord, have been emboldened by my bonds to speak the word more abundantly without fear. And that goes right back to what he wrote there in Romans 8 and verse 28, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Okay? But notice what he says here in verse 15. But indeed, some are proclaiming Christ out of envy and strife, and some with good intentions. Do we have that today? Yes. On the one hand, those who are preaching out of a contentious spirit and not purely are thinking to add grief to my bonds. But on the other hand, those who are preaching out of love know that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What shall I say? Nevertheless, in every way, whether in pretext or in truth, Christ is being proclaimed. And I rejoice in this, yes, and will also continue to rejoice. So that's the attitude we need to take with this. So would it be entirely correct to pray for those men that they would come to the knowledge of the truth? Of course. Maybe through this can be a springboard to help them understand the truth even more. I mean, stop and think. Where did we start when God was calling us? You know, how much did we know? Hey, nothing. Well, let's hope that they do well. So that's my half of the services are on what's happening with Glenn Beck and all of those who are following them. Maybe it will make a difference for a while. But there's still one thing that Jeremiah Wright said, which is true. The chickens have come home to roost. And sooner or later, the sun sets, and the chickens come home to roost, and we're going to have the difficulties that will come. Now, every one of us, we're happy that we know about the kingdom of God. A lot of us are happy that we live in the end times. But we really can't handle all the difficulties that are coming unless we stay close to God. So we wish them well. We wish them to come to more truth. We wish them to really come to the true Christ. But if they can turn a good number of people away from doing evil, maybe the hand of God, for the sake of his people and the nation, will be held back for a time.